broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
We start on Veterans Day saying, hey, so many have given so much.
Well, the results are the main reason. You look at the kind of, as he said, you look at the
any
kind
teacher
of.
Teacher, my fully support.
Someone is going to pat you down, and they will be
written. Like a fool, don't you?
Yeah, something like that.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch and where every night we go through the looking glass. Places other talk shows wish they could go, but can't. All right, tonight we have a gentleman who will talk about the safety of our public facilities, our public recreational facilities. How safe are they? You know, oftentimes you get into this discussion around summertime when the pools open, the public pools. But we're talking here about golf courses now and the damage that can be caused by golfers to private property and elsewhere. And one story here in particular we're going to be referencing from Albany, New York. Later on the program, Justin McElroy, a high school student, a filmmaker, and the subject of Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, when all of the sales are on, and it has taken on increasingly a rather foreboding sound when you say Black Friday, because we remember what happened a couple of years ago at the Valley Stream Walmart in New York. And so we're going to talk about that next hour. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. Live streaming video of the show right now and live streaming audio of the show, archives, the largest repository of podcasts and archival footage and on-demand video that you find of any radio show anywhere. Get a backstage pass. Otherwise, you don't know what's going on here. I mean, you just don't know what's going on here. All right. Despite objections over their pat-down search and full body scanners, the TSA will continue with their new security measures. That's also ahead. And Sarah Palin's TV show, Sarah Palin's Alaska. Did you watch it? What'd you think? We'll talk about that, too. On our affiliate spotlight tonight in Portland, KXFD 970 in Portland and in Fort Wayne, Indiana, WADM 1540. Two stations that get it on the Phil Hendry Radio Network. Here is a story here, and we're going to get this gentleman on the line who is from the Inland Empire and the experience that he had on his golf game recently. There's two doctors playing golf, and I'm not telling you a joke. This is actually the news story. Two doctors are playing golf on Long Island. One hits such a poor shot from the rough that it hits his partner standing somewhere off to the side in the head. Whose fault is it? New York's top court will hear arguments tomorrow about whether Dr. Anoop Kapoor was negligent and should have yelled four as a warning before the shot. A judge dismissed Dr. Azad Anand's lawsuit, finding he took on the primary risk by golfing. So this is one friend suing another because he didn't yell four and the other guy got hit in the noggin with a golf shot. And if you're a golfer, you've probably have seen that happen. I don't know how many times. On the line with us from Corona, California is Stephen Bozell, who is a construction contractor and was involved in a similar, well, not really a similar situation because it had nothing to do with anybody being hit, but there was some on-course harassment as a result of a shot. Is that right, Mr. Bozell?
Yes, sir. It was a golf shot off of the 12th tee at Diamond Bar.
And all right, look, before Diamond Bar is down, is in the L.A. area, correct?
Yes, sir. It's out near, well, it's in the city of Diamond Bar. It's on the way to Chino and I guess it's down toward Fullerton.
Okay. Now, you were out golfing with friends when?
At the very end of the summertime. We were there. It was a company tournament that we have, so I had a friend of mine was there, and mostly it was people who worked for me.
And you were, and as I understand it, Mr. Bozell, this doesn't have anything to do with hitting anyone? You didn't?
No, sir.
So no one was struck with the ball?
Not that I know of, but if there is, it's in dispute, because what happened was the shot that was hit by me, and I did not see the result of the shot. Because I had been, by that point, I had been verbally attacked, and I was continually verbally attacked until the end of the of this particular golf game. At which point, I then went home, and as a result of what had happened to me, My son was also injured.
And your son was injured in this incident?
Yes, sir.
All right, tell me what happened. And I know that this doesn't have anything to do with anyone being hit, but you were a group of friends, right?
Well, I mean, co-workers and friends, yes, sir. This was a golf tournament that I have for my company that was instigated actually by my employees who wanted to have a golf game. And we went ahead, and I invited this friend of mine, my next-door neighbor. And so we have that every year, probably in late August. We only started doing it 2 years ago.
Okay. Tell me what happened.
Yes, sir. I was on the 12T, which borders a housing complex up near the foothills off the 57 freeway.
And all right, so the fairway is running along the 57 freeway there?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And the freeway's on the right, but the housing complex was on the left, and I was up on the tee. And I hit a tee shot that started out straight, and I was... when the tee shot went off the tee, my friend, Mr. Hutchins, said, "Beautiful shot, Steve." And then he said, no, it isn't. And the ball was hooking into a housing complex there. There's some, I think, 100 homes there along the fence. And there is a common area, and there's a homeowners association there or something. My understanding, it's middle-income housing. And he said, "Great shot, no it isn't." And as it began to hook into the housing complex, Mr. Hutchins at that time then said, "Those four innocent people," which...
He said, what did he say, sir?
He said, "Oh my God, those poor innocent people." And that immediately shocked me. It frightened me. I asked him, "What do you mean?" He just said, "Those four innocent people," and he smiled, and that was all he said. And I asked him if he would explain himself, and the other golfers told me to please be quiet because they were hitting. For the rest of the round, I could not get any information more out of Mr. Hutchins what he meant by those poor innocent people. My golf shot was a very strong shot. I connected well with it, but it did hook, so I imagine it was picking up a good bit of speed as it was heading into the housing complex. And
did it hit anybody in the how you say it didn't hit anyone?
I don't know, and I don't think it did. I mean, we didn't hear about it, and but Mr. Hutchins, through the remainder of the tournament, was making comments, you know, about those poor innocent people. I was so unnerved by this, I not only that I didn't golf well, but I wound up losing losing quite a bit of money, which was neither here nor there. But I did get home after drinking several beers in the clubhouse. And
did you have too much to drink, you think?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And when I got home, my son said to me, "How was your golf game, Dad?" And that's when I hit him.
You hit your son?
Yes, sir. And the neighbor had called the police because they heard my son scream, or they heard the sound of my hand on his face or something. But I had to deal with the police, and fortunately there was no damage to my son. I told the police I've never hurt my son in a million years, and they gave me a warning.
They gave you a warning? Is that a written?
It's like a citation, yeah. And the reason why all of this came about is this neighbor called it in, and I wasn't sure that, you know, I mean, I realized that Hutchins had betrayed me by saying those poor innocent people, but now I got a nosy neighbor calling in my son, and so I have no choice but to try to protect myself and file an anticipatory lawsuit against him.
All right, I'm a little confused here, but you want to sue your neighbor for what?
Mr. Hutchins, I want to sue because he said those poor innocent people in order to make me feel as if I'd injured someone so that I would play poorly. I did. I lost the tournament, and when I got home and my son made the mistake of asking me how the golf tournament was, because he wouldn't have known, but he made the mistake, and I had to, at that time, hit him. And that's when this nosy neighbor called the police. And that's when this cop, who got nothing better to do,
gave you the citation or this warning?
That is correct.
So your lawsuit, sir, is going to be, so it's not unlike, not that much unlike the one that's going on in New York, where you're suing a friend for interfering with your golf game. Is that right?
That is not only that, but he interfered with my game to the point where it caused me emotional cruelty and also caused me to eventually assault my son. But I couldn't help but think the worst because of what Mr. Hutchins had said, that maybe my golf ball had killed a family, a dog, or it broke a window, or it hit a little girl or something. And so throughout the entire, tournament, that's what I was thinking.
Our number here on the Phil Henry Show is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. With me is Mr. Steve Bozell from Corona, California, who was playing golf at the end of August. Steve?
It was around the last weekend in August.
And I was playing golf with some friends. This was a golf tournament. And you hit a pretty hard shot off the tee that hooked. And when I say hooked, tell the audience what that means.
Tell the audience.
Yeah, when you hook a ball, if you're a right-handed golfer.
Yeah, it hooks to the right. It hooks behind you.
Okay, so you hit the ball off the tee. It hooks into a housing complex, right?
Yes.
And that's when you heard Mr. Hutchins say, those poor innocent people.
Yes, sir. And he said that in order to make it sound like, may God help who's ever underneath that golf ball, because, when it hits them, it'll probably cause brain, there'll be a brain damaged, and there may be a child in a wheelchair. And I fell into a deep depression because of his comments to me. As a result, I ended up drinking too much at that bar, something I wouldn't have done had it not been for this Mr. Hutchins talking about my golf ball going through a child. And further, I would have not backhanded my son. Mr. Hutchins had caused this, and him screaming like a girl.
And now, when did he scream like a little girl?
He did that a couple of times as we finished out the golf game. Once on the 14th tee, another time on the 17th green. And he can do these impressions, but he went, or like a little girl would. And at one point, I looked around, and he started to laugh like he thought of.
So this guy is, this man was taunting you, right?
Yes, sir.
And mocking you.
He basically terrorized me during the entire golf outing. From the 12th hole on, I was terrorized. And when I had said to him, I would really appreciate it if you'd tell me what you know. And he said, I can't, and he made it seem like...
What would he know? He was standing there with you.
Well, that's true, Mr. Andrew, but at the time, I was so unnerved by this. I thought he knew something about a girl or a baby or someone being hit by the ball.
When he said the words, those poor innocent people, he doesn't know any more than you whether anyone's been hit by this golf ball. Furthermore...
The terrorization of me during the golf outing is what I was concerned with.
But furthermore, sir, even if you had hit someone, as tragic as that could have been or not, that's sort of, it's not... That's the risk you take when you live near a golf course. Isn't that right?
That was the one thing that I held on to that made me feel better. And Hutchins said to me, even if you kill a child, I said, I don't want to kill a child, but if I did kill a child, it's not my fault because I'm on a golf course and you talking about it, I could never get anybody around me, the other golfers, to understand that Hutchins was making more of a, he was toying with me and laughing at a little kid maybe dying. But they looked at me like I was the wrong one, see? So he basically terrorized me, and then my son got hit by me.
Well, that was the thing that you're blaming him for as well. When you got home and you had too much to drink.
That is correct.
And you smacked your son, you are blaming Mr. Hutchins for that.
Yes, sir. And I feel he's to blame for that had he not terrorized me with the comment of those poor innocent people.
Well, it's a very interesting lawsuit, and golf is what we're talking about. A couple of lawsuits, one in upstate New York, a doctor suing another doctor, both of these guys friends, because the guy didn't yell four. And in the case of Mr. Bozell suing a friend in California because his friend said the phrase, those poor innocent people, after Mr. Bozell had hit a pretty strong shot into a housing complex by mistake. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Your calls with Steve Bozell. Joining us next at 877-876-PHIL. Next hour, Justin McElroy and Black Friday, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Well, you talk about your son, your relationship with your son. We're back on the Phil Hendry Show talking about the a golf game gone bad. There's a couple of golf stories. You know, golf is it's a very popular sport. It's also a sport that is very difficult to play, and it's also a sport that can potentially, it's not often, but potentially it can be dangerous to others because you're hitting this small little orb as hard as you can, and when it jumps off that tee, it's going at a pretty good pace, and if you're in the way, and in the case of Mr. Bozell here, you hit this ball not down the fairway, but it went off the fairway and into a housing project.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, you don't know that it hit anybody, and the chances are it didn't. Have you heard anything since?
No, I haven't heard anything directly, but this Hutchins, he keeps talking about hearing a kid scream.
Well, it's obvious he's trying to mess with you, right?
Well, this is why I spoke with my attorney, yes, sir, and... And this is why I've also spoken to my attorney about the fact that this man prompted me to strike my son. And my relationship with my son now is irreparably harmed due to the bad, because I backhanded him because he asked me how the golf game was. And I don't know now, is my son going to ask me some other question that he should, it's going to anger me. And my son flinches when I walk by.
Your son is flinching?
He's flinching. If he sees me with my golf bag, he flinches. Yes, sir.
If your son sees you with a golf bag. So as the result of you hitting your son after he asked you about your golf game, your son flinches.
You know, he doesn't flinch except if he sees me wearing a golf glove, or if I'm watching the golf channel.
When you say he flinches, what do you mean?
I mean, there's a definite flinch. His shoulders hunch up, his head lowers down, and he almost scurries away like, my wife said, almost like a crab.
When you're watching the golf channel or when you...
When I put on my golf glove.
When you put on your golf glove. All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're speaking here with Stephen Bozell as we're talking about a golf game gone bad and this golf shot that you were afraid hit some people, and your friend Mr. Hutchins exacerbated that fear by saying those poor, innocent people. Here is Candace on the Phil Hendry Show, listening on WDDQ in Valdosta, Georgia. Candace, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Sir, I just wanted to say, you don't need a lawyer. You need a counselor or help for a drinking problem. You cannot blame someone else for your own drinking problem and anger management. It doesn't matter. We're adults, and you can say what you want, but you cannot take your anger out on your son because he asked you a simple question. You don't need a lawyer. You need a counselor.
Well, I agree with you that my son asked a simple question. It was Mr. Hutchins who provoked me into slapping my son by talking about how
my golf... No, sir, that's your own action. You took it upon yourself to raise your hand to your son and strike him. That man took it upon himself to say what he wanted to say to you and tease you. And as an adult, you should take it and shrug it off. You can't go around suing people for teasing you.
Well, man, it's
every NBA player on the court went around suing people for talking trash on the court, we would never have an NBA game. You cannot sue somebody for taunting you. You have to stay focused and focus on your own game. So because you didn't play well, you chose to drink. That drinking then in turn made you an angry person, and you chose to hit your son. You cannot blame that man for your own actions. You want to blame everybody else but yourself. Take responsibility
you made a
for
mistake
your own
there,
actions.
You may, just if I could point out, you made a mistake. The PGA is what is the... sanctioning body of golfers, not the NBA.
Sir, I was making an analogy. Okay. It was an analogy, sir.
Well, it's not a good one because we're talking about golf and basketball have nothing to do with each other, so I don't know what I was trying to do.
Well, no, but she's just saying if you lose your temper on the basketball court.
I wasn't playing basketball. I was playing golf, which is a very relaxed game, and it is a game that friends play. And when this man said those poor... If that man said those poor innocent people, I'm going to go home and strike my son because this guy has me worried that I hit a golf ball right through the head of a child.
Well, all right. So were you really afraid you injured a child?
Yes, I was.
Then why did you go home and slap your son?
Because my son asked me. No, not because Mr. Hutchins is the one that had me thinking that I'd injured a child. And when I saw this child ask me how my golf game was, I wanted to slap the child away. That was my instinct to get away before I hit another ball through you.
All right.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Stephen Bozell, a construction contractor from Corona, California, involved in litigation over a golf tournament. One other story in upstate New York, one golfer suing another for not yelling four. In this particular case, Mr. Bozell has instigated action against a friend and some co-workers because he was taunted after hitting a pretty strong shot off of the fairway and into a housing complex. He was taunted with the words, "those poor innocent people." And that made you believe what, Mr. Bozell?
It made me believe that it was very likely that I'd injured probably a little girl with a sailboat. And the reason why I say that is because Hutchins later, one hole later, said there was probably a little girl pushing a sailboat onto a pond. So I had no...
Well, that was furthering the taunting, right?
Yeah.
And you got off the course and started drinking heavily?
I had probably four or five beers. It was a hot day, and I'm able to hold my... I'm not no lightweight or anything, that you're thinking, but I had a few beers. Then I came off ready to relax and just forget about the whole thing, and that's when my son came up and said, "How was your golf game?" And he kind of gave me a wink, which made me think that maybe Hutchins had said something to him, and that's when I went ahead and, just as a precautionary measure, backhanded him.
And a precautionary measure. So you think that your son said that on purpose to taunt you?
Just in case he did, and that's why I hit him. The police did come. I told the police about Mr. Hutchins. They gave me a warning anyway, and so this whole thing really originated with him, and it's going to, excuse me for saying this, but it's going to end with him too.
You believe your son taunted you?
I don't think my son knew what he was doing. I think Hutchins might have given him the high sign or something. And he went ahead, you know, stuck it in and broke it off.
877-876-PHIL, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show as we talk with Mr. Stephen Bozell here. Here's Don listening on WPNN in Pensacola, Florida. Go ahead, Don. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Mr. Bozell,
my husband
and I are both nurses in the emergency room. And we are traveling through listening to the show, and I do agree with the first caller that I wonder should, number one, you need counseling, but my concern is more where are your coping skills? If you're out on the golf course and someone's taunting you, you know, move on. You know, why get so upset that you go home and you take it out on your child? First of all, I have three old young adult children who are 18, 19, and 21, and I think if somebody taunts me, let me speak.
You said they were old young. You said they were old young. I didn't know what that meant.
She meant older kids, probably,
adults.
Right?
No.
Yeah.
They're young adults.
Okay.
They're 18, 19, and 21. And I think that if for instance, we're both ER nurses. My husband and I are both listening to the show. We're both ER nurses. I have patients who come in, they taunt me all night long.
Hold on. I'm sorry, Don. This is Phil. What are you asking me, Mr. Bozell?
I'm sorry. I don't know what a urine nurse is.
She didn't say urine nurse. She said an ER nurse.
I forgive me. Okay.
Go on.
I'm an emergency room nurse. I take care of patients all night long. If I listen to taunting and let things bother me, I'd be slapping people all night long. So I wonder, and what I see from people coming in after 20 years of nursing is coping skills have gone by the wayside. Where do you learn to cope any longer? My children, I have to teach my children to cope in social situations. you're in a social situation. So my advice number one is to not golf with your coworkers any longer. My advice number two is to cope. You have to learn to cope and get through situations.
Can I just make a comment? I'm sorry, but the word cope sounds sissy. I don't mean to say sissy, but...
Why do you say that?
It's just that the word cope, I used to hear that when my wife and I went to marriage counseling. You don't know how to cope, and it sounded... Boy, did it sound...
All right, well, forget about the word cope. What is your comment here?
Well, my comment, I think the lady... have you ever golfed, ma'am? We had a skins game going. Now, we had $460 riding on a carryover from the first hole. That's about a $500 hole. That's a $500 hole right there, and I hit it into a housing complex. Now, I could have recovered. I could take a drop, get a one-stroke penalty, and I get a drop. But Hutchins says those poor, innocent people, that means $500 is gone because he put it in my head that I'd killed.
Well, you... Okay, Mr. Bozell?
I killed you.
Mr. Bozell, sir?
Yes, sir.
Did you... You hadn't killed anyone.
Made me think I did.
Well, if you really thought that you'd killed somebody, would you even continue playing golf? Wouldn't you go over and...
I told you that there was $500... This is what this man can do. And then I went home, and no sooner do I get it out of my system that I might have killed a three-year-old girl that my son starts to mouth off. Well, what would you do, ma'am? What choice do you have?
Well, honestly, if I have enough money to play $500 a hole, and I'm going to tell you, I have spent the money before that. You just have to, I mean, this is life, and life is very short. My father was murdered. My father was murdered. I cried for a whole good month.
Will you listen to what the lady's saying? Her father was murdered.
I just asked her, was it over a golf game?
I have played golf. My husband and I play golf. Get over it. Move on. Let's go. You know, why are you so...
Your dad died over a golf game, and you're still playing golf. To me...
The analogy that the woman from Belfast to Georgia made, comparing NBA to golf, was very legitimate. You did not pick up on that. Your voice is very broken. You're very anxious, I can tell.
You just got done telling me that your father was killed on a golf course, so you know what can happen.
No, my father was killed after Hurricane Katrina, if you want to be specific. If you shut your mouth and listen and let me speak for a minute. He was killed after Hurricane Katrina. But what I'm saying is, I cried.
Was he golfing?
I dealt
with
it.
No, he wasn't golfing. He wasn't golfing. He wasn't on a golf course. This woman's telling you about the death of her father.
I'm just saying that we all deal with situations in life.
Exactly. Very good points, Don. You're absolutely right. And to go home and smack your son?
I told you that my son asked me, how's your golf game, after I'd had a six-pack of beer. Now,
And now your son flinches every time he sees you put on the golf channel or put on your golf glove.
Yes, he does.
Well, that to me doesn't sound like... In your home, that isn't Roy Hutchins. Thank you very much, Don. 877-876-PHIL. That's you.
My son loves me, and we have a great relationship, okay? He only flinches when he sees me pick up a putter, put on a hat, a golf hat, or flip on, you know, Shell's Wonderful World of Golf on the corner. T.G. Rodriguez or something. But,
What does he do?
I think I've already told you, Mr. Hinton.
No, you haven't told me. Your son flinches when he's Chichi Rodriguez?
When I put on Shell's Wonderful World of Golf.
That hasn't been on in years.
On ESPN Classic? Hello?
Well, what are you telling me, man? Is your son, is he traumatized because of golf? You?
Because of golf. Not me. If my son was traumatized because of me, every time he saw me, he'd flinch. But he flinches and scurries, just like my wife said. Every time he sees Chichi Rodriguez, or he sees me in a pair of loud shorts.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show as we talk about golf gone bad, a hook shot into a housing project, and a man saying those poor innocent people cost this man, he says, a $500 hole of golf. Here is Joe in Greensboro, North Carolina. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I think it's people like your caller here who are, you know, bogging down the legal system and the courts with frivolous lawsuits. I mean, you had a bad day, and you're going to go and file a lawsuit?
Well, sir, it wasn't just a bad day. It was the fact that this guy says those poor... If you ever hit a... Now I'm thinking about a little kid with a golf ball that's gone right through his head. I've got a $500 hole. I'm going to take a drop. I got one club length away from the fence, so I take a drop. I'm in thick grass. There's no way my driver's going to get through that, so I got to take a 3-iron, and I'm got to hope I'll, you know, get a...
Yeah?
What do you mean, yeah?
Okay, tell us about the shot. I mean, if so far you're thinking clearly.
And then I remember that I might have killed someone.
What happened when you took the drop? What was your next shot like?
What do you think? It just dribbled out.
Well, how many yards?
It wasn't even yards. It was probably about 30 feet.
Go ahead, sir.
First, I think you need anger management. You need to go to AA, and you need to give up the game of golf because, you know, filing lawsuits like this is the reason nothing can get done in this country. Every time you turn around, somebody's filing a lawsuit over getting burnt by coffee at McDonald's. If the coffee had been cold, they would have complained. You know, your buddy's taunting you. You're filing a lawsuit against that.
Are you telling me I gotta give up golf, I gotta give up drinking, and I gotta go because Roy Hutchins told me, and he lied, that I killed a child with my golf shot, and I gotta give up golf?
You gotta get a sense of perspective here, man. That's what people are saying. You're thinking what are you gonna say, Joe?
I think that you're the one that needs some perspective, man.
All I tried to do was have a game of golf with some friends of mine, and went before the evening sun set, I'd smacked my son, I'd had a visit from the police, and I was drunk.
And it's all Roy Hutchins' fault.
He was a very significant contributing factor, yes, sir.
And now you've got medication that's going to drag out, and something that's more important
than no sweat
taken
off
care
you.
Of. No sweat off of you.
Yeah, it's a sweat off of all of us. We got to pay for it.
Why don't you guys just mind your own business?
It is our business. Thanks very much, Joe. 877-876-PHIL. Speaking with Stephen Bozell here on the Phil Hendry Show. We'll take another call before our break. We're talking about, just exactly what is a suable action these days. This gets a guy in upstate New York suing his friend because he didn't yell four. You're suing your friend because he said those poor innocent people and your son got smacked, and your friend knows how to scream like a little girl. Here is Waleed in Henderson, North Carolina. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
I was listening to this ridiculous story for about 30 minutes. You know, prior to the story, my IQ was like 140. Now it's -4. I mean, first of all, you had a bad golf day, all right? Big deal. You admit you were drinking.
$500 hole. If you call
a $500 hole? But let me tell you something. Your friend says something, just poor innocent people. If you were really a concerned citizen, I could have dropped that golf and walked out there just to see if I really hit somebody or not. I would have not continued with the game. I would have not.
You were really Why didn't you do that? Why didn't you do that, Mr. Bozell?
I've already told you I didn't do it because I had a chance. I took a one-stroke penalty. I could have hit out of the thick grass.
No. If you were worried about the kid, forget about hitting out of the thick grass. Why didn't you?
Because I had $500 riding on the hole. I figure if the child had been knocked unconscious, I'd still be able.
Which one is more important, the $500 or you with the possibility of hitting a child if you were so concerned? And then you go home, your poor child just ask you a simple question, how's the game, Dad? And you hit him. I mean, the boy just asked you a simple question. He had no right to hit the boy. He didn't do anything wrong.
That's why I blame Hutchins. No, I know he didn't do anything wrong. That's why I blame Hutchins. Hutchins soured me. on the idea of kids that day.
That's the lamest excuse I ever heard in my life. And if I was a judge, honestly, I would throw this case out of court and give you 30 days for being stupid. But then again, you can't be stupid.
That's not right, sir, because if you were the judge, you have to hear me. Mr. Hutchins soured me on the whole concept of...
You have no case. You absolutely have no case.
Let's do this something here. I want to do something. Waleed, you're the judge. You're the judge. Mr. Bozell, I'm going to give you 10 seconds to make your case to Waleed, the judge, okay?
Right now?
Yeah, right now, as if you're standing before the judge.
Sir, Mr. Hutchins soured me on the whole concept of children when he made me think I'd killed one. So when I went home and hit my kid, the value of kids was not as high as it had been before he made me think I killed one.
Okay. Now, I'm the judge. You admit you've been drinking.
Yes.
You have to be a man and stand up and take the responsibility. You cannot blame hitting your son on somebody else. Second of all, $500 is nothing comparing to thinking you're hitting a child with a ball. You might hurt somebody. And I walked away to make sure I did not hit anybody. You have no case. This case is out of court. That's it.
Your Honor, I want to appeal.
You don't appeal. Anyway, Waleed, thank you. Very, very wise man. You'd make a good judge, sir. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. I want to appeal. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we speak with Mr. Stephen Bozell, who hit a ball off the fairway into a housing complex, and his friend said, those poor, innocent people, and now he's suing his friend and everybody for blowing his game. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Understand.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and our website, philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. You can watch live streaming video of the show right now. Listen to live streaming audio. This story in Albany, New York, Mr. Bozell, is of two friends, one of whom hit a golf ball and the other was hit by it. And the one who was hit by it said, you should have yelled four. And they've gone to court as the result of a pretty basic golfing etiquette. Now, I don't know whether the court is going to deal with it any more seriously than they might deal with your case, but to me, that sounds like a better case. You want to sue your friend because he made a joke about those poor, innocent people, and that messed with your head to the point where you lost a $500 hole.
Well, the golf shot that I hit off the tee was a very well-hit ball. In fact, Mr. Hutchins the deposition on when we take a deposition, he'll say very clearly it was a well-hit ball because I said, great, he said, nice poke, Steve, and then he said, no, it ain't, and that's when he said, those poor innocent people.
And how do you know he wasn't also trying to taunt you there?
What do you mean?
By saying, nice poke, Steve, no, it ain't, meaning?
No, it was a good poke. It come off the tee straight as an arrow. It's beautiful. If it had stayed straight, it would have been 375 yards. I don't have any doubt in my mind, but then it hooked left. But it was a great shot.
Well, what was great about it if it hooked into a housing project?
It was great because Hutchins, he knows, he said, nice poke, Steve.
He said, nice poke, Steve, no, it ain't. Sounds to me like he was messing with you. You said he was messing with you.
He was messing with me by saying those poor innocent people when he realized it was going to go into a housing project.
877-876-PHIL, onto another phone call here on the Phil Hendry Show. Here is Sandy. Go ahead, Sandy.
Yes, hi. I think that I've had some sort of experience like that. I was hit by a golf ball because the tennis club I played at, the driving range was right next to it. So they had to put up a very, very high net in order to keep that court clean. And the second thing is,
you got hit by a golf ball. You said you got hit by a golf ball. Did you get hit by a golf ball or not?
Oh, yes, I did, right on my leg.
Said you think. On your leg?
Uh-huh. But I wasn't the only one that had been hit. Some people were hit in the head and in the back of the head, and then the forehead, etc. But I think that, excuse me?
I'm following you. I'm Mr. Bozell. I'm the one that almost killed a kid.
Oh.
You didn't almost kill a kid. You don't know that you killed a kid.
I almost did.
Yes, but you've got other issues.
I'll never forget about it.
I think that you hit the sun because you were so frustrated because you couldn't do anything with this gentleman, your friend. So you just took it out on your kid.
I took it out on my kid because my kid made the mistake of saying, how is your golf game?
Yeah, how's he going to know? You can't blame your kid because
I
you didn't have self-control.
I came in drunk, so he knows something's wrong with Dad because he's hammered.
So you're drunk, so your kid knows, oh, Dad must have had a bad game. I think I'll ask him how it was with a smile on my face.
Yeah. And then
right. It's sad, but
you
will be able to work it out.
You think I'm crazy?
Stop the drinking.
Well, is your dog...
You sound like a fine person.
Do you have a cold?
No, I have sinus.
Because you... Oh, okay.
Well, what are you doing?
Oh, me?
Thank you very much, Sandy.
Thanks, Sandy.
Phil Hendry Show, Justin McElroy is next.
What about my lawsuit? I figure he owes me at least the $500 for the hole.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
There are two things in my life that are an absolute. I did not ask for either
this
one of them.
This teacher, whom I fully support.
You can feel the excitement in this room because there are some major shoppers here.
I'm going to pat you down, and they will be rich.
Thompson, I approve this message.
You're fired.
And I'm like, oh, snap.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Yeah, come on. Truth is our bitch. Every night through the looking glass we go, and we go places other talk shows, well, they wish they could. All I got to do is go over to philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass. You can see what it's all about. I mean, you're hearing what it's all about. Do you want to see and hear and know and feel and all that? Just go over to philhendryshow.com, look at the live streaming video, the audio. Not only that, but you can access thousands of hours of archives. We have on-demand video. We have our news feed, guaranteed email response from Phil Hendry. In other words, I talk to my subscribers. They talk to me. They curse me out. I tell them thank you. It's all over there, philhendryshow.com. And we're going to be going to HD video relatively soon. As soon as Elaine comes back, our very talented engineeress, and she comes back with all the equipment and gets a good price, like free. I'm kidding. 877-876-PHIL. Joining us this hour, Justin McElroy, to discuss the highly anticipated Black Friday deals happening the day after Thanksgiving. That's right. The day after Thanksgiving, as you all know, is Black Friday. That's what they call it. I don't know that it is such a wise nickname, given the history of Black Friday in recent years. But Walmart has released its Black Friday ads on Facebook with great deals if you can stay awake to take advantage of them. Starting at midnight, just as Thanksgiving Day expires, Walmart stores will throw open their doors for an all-night open house with great prizes on toys and other items, according to DealTaker.com. Now, was it not Walmart that had the episode in Valley Stream? I don't see it here in the article, but it was a Walmart. Starting at midnight, that's the midnight the day after Thanksgiving. What's on tap? A Nintendo Wi-Fi, $199, with a $50 Walmart gift card, Juju Pets, last year's must-have toy for $4, Lego Tubs, $15, and on it goes. In a bit of related news, Goodwill in Seattle last weekend offered huge sales for eager shoppers getting a jump on Black Friday, including one shopper who drops the F-bomb during a live report here on Channel 5 King News Seattle.
You can feel the excitement in this room because there are some major shoppers here who know exactly what they're doing. Some of them are first-timers. Some of them have been coming here for a long, long time. Look at this guy. He's got like an armful of stuff. What do you think?
Tons of... sequence.
Okay, thank you very much. Sorry about that. And we
Oh, man. That was funny. Tons of effing sequins is what the guy said. Joining us on the line here is a young man, a high school student from L.A. Canyon High School in northern L.A. County. And he's going to be talking with us. Justin, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Justin McElroy is a high school junior at L.A. Canyon High School. And you guys are going to be at Walmart on Black Friday yourselves making a videotape, a school project. Is that right?
Yes, sir. It's part of our mass media class. And it's Mr. Cockrell's class, who is our junior class advisor.
And so this is a mass media? Is it like telecommunications?
We take a lot of video production and some audio editing. We learn how to digital edit as well as digital edit for video.
Okay, outstanding. Now, why did you guys choose Black Friday?
We wanted to do a tape that was probably more educational than what we had been doing. My father and our junior class advisor had given us this assignment as a way of, rather than giving us detention or giving us or losing credits or being suspended for our project earlier, you know, just after the school year started.
And what was that?
We had decided to go to Pershing Square in Los Angeles and pay some of the men there to fight.
So you were going to create what's called bum fights?
That's correct, yeah.
And your father and your teachers did not approve?
No.
And so what did they ask you to do?
Well, we were going to be, my father and two of the fathers went to the school and talked to Mr. Cockrell and Mr. Huntington, who's our headmaster for the dean of boys, I should say, and came up with a solution that we would do a replacement video.
So you'd do the project over again?
That's correct, yes, sir.
And what you guys have chosen is Black Friday.
That's correct.
Why have you chosen Black Friday? First of all, before you answer that, you know, I don't want to judge you or anything, but bum fights, doesn't that seem a little cruel?
It was. In retrospect, I think it wasn't that we wanted to be entertained by it. We wanted to show people the reality, I guess, of how those people live, you know.
Yeah, but you guys were you not going to pay them to get into fights with each other?
But they do that anyway. I mean,
okay.
And so if you pay, a lot of those bums are...
And let's try not to call them. You call them bums?
I mean, I'm sorry, those men are... They will do anything for money anyway. And so if I hadn't been there, somebody would have said, you know, would you like do some other, you know, probably way more disgusting thing for money? But they told us we couldn't do it, and we were going to be suspended, but we worked out that we could do over the project. And
so you chose Walmart. Now, tell me in my audience here, and we're talking with Justin McElroy, who's a high school junior from L.A. Canyon High School. They were going to do bum fighting for their mass media project, and their fathers, as well as the school's advisors, and I think rightfully so, Justin, disabused you guys of that notion. So you have now chosen Black Friday Walmart as your project.
That's correct.
Okay, tell me why.
Well, we think that it's probably way more educational. We had gone to a Walmart in L.A., in the L.A. County area last year because we were thinking of possibly doing that for our sophomore project. And we didn't really see anything that was all that interesting. That's why we went to and did the bum fights. But this year we're going to go and tape what will be going on. And I think it'll be better because there's more people involved in Walmart. I mean, I'm sorry to say, but there'll be more people involved in the rioting that'll probably be happening. And
All right, now, you know, hold on for a moment. You say the rioting, because there wasn't any real incident last year. We had the incident the year before in Valley Stream, New York. You're out here in California. I don't know how many other places where Walmart exists or any other place that's having a Black Friday sale, for that matter, is running the risk of any rioting. So are you not taking a chance here? And are you constantly, are you looking for violence? Is that what you're doing with your project?
Well, I mean, we're looking for people that are violent about money. And that's why we felt the bum fights was, it showed how low people would sink for money. But they, you know, obviously we can't do that. So that's when we've decided to go to Walmart to show that people will be violent. And what we have are some signs that we made. There's a lot of, most of this stuff is Chinese. A lot of it is for sale at Walmart. And so we've put up some signs that will talk about TVs, and we've got some signs that talk about DVDs that are for sale.
And all right, well, what do you mean you've got signs? Are you guys, in other words, what are you doing? Are you attempting with your bum fights, you instigated fighting, and now with these, are you trying to instigate an incident at a Walmart?
I'm not sure right now.
What I mean by instigate, are you trying to, by coming in there, as a journalist, as a documentarian, are you trying to create the story?
No, sir.
Then why are you coming in with fake signs?
Because that's what they're going to sell anyway, and they're going to sell that anyway, but they don't have a lot of signs out showing that. I mean, they have it in the newspaper right now. They can purchase Chinese, you know, like Chinese electronics for what? What we put on our sign was you can get Chinese electronics for dirty cheap. We got a sign like $30 Blu-ray player that they usually go for $150. That's what they're going to sell it for, you know.
Well, they may be selling it for that, but what do you mean by putting a sign up that says dirty cheap?
That's what they're selling it for, you know.
What I'm saying to you is Justin, if Walmart is selling something for a Blu-ray player, let's say, for $30, which is very cheap, you're right, if that in fact is what they're doing, why don't you let their advertising speak for itself?
And it does speak for itself, but all we'll want to do is when the crowds start to form, to show how good people want to go and get it, we want to have the signs there to say it's really, you know, it's inexpensive, cheap Chinese stuff, and they could go and get it. I got the story. Can I just read one thing, Mr. Henry, about it, the story that we have?
Go ahead.
They have, like you said, they've got $50 gift cards. They have Lego tubs. They got they have a Emerson 32-inch. And the only thing we said was that it's dirty cheap for a dirty cheap Emerson 32-inch for $140 or maybe more. You know?
So what you're doing is you're trying to what? Excite the crowd?
Well, I think they're already excited.
That if they're already excited and they're already to rock and roll and they're already to go pouring into this store, and you guys are obviously there with your cameras hoping to see violence.
Mr. Henry, I can honestly say we don't want to see violence. I mean, if we do, yeah, we do want to tape that, but I'm hoping that we don't have to. And
well, I mean, come on, man. You don't have your project if there's no violence.
But I still don't want to see it.
But you're instigating it by saying dirty cheap electronics, and we have an LCD, and we got a Magnavox, and all this stuff, right? So once the crowd arrives, and they see all these signs,
well, we're curious to see how the customers will react when they discover the products are more expensive than what we advertised is all. If they get mad and riot, then we're there. We film it, sure. But we're journalists capturing the human spirit.
So you guys are putting up signs showing that the stuff is cheaper.
Well, I don't know. It might not be.
So by capturing this violent event, that's one thing. But your project, your mass media project for your high school right now, has you guys instigating a violent event at a Walmart. Is that true?
No, I don't agree with that, sir.
If you're putting up signs saying that there's stuff here for cheaper than really what it's selling for, why are you saying that then? Why are you saying that there's stuff for sale cheaper than what it's actually selling for if you don't want there to be violence?
I didn't say we don't want to see violence. What happened what we want to see is if they busted down a couple of doors at that one store. And that's all we want to see. But we don't want.
When they busted down a couple of doors at that one store, that one man died. You know that, right? I mean, that one man was crushed by the crowd pouring through.
That was because the guy got. That's not because of that.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly why it happened. The guy, I remember that story vividly. We covered that story. We were all over that story. And that guy was behind that door. It came right down on top of him.
Mr. Aaron, we're not instigating it. We're not going to force anybody to riot. The customers would choose to commit the violence. And if they choose to commit the violence, then yeah, we would.
And what do you mean, would they choose? What? How would you know if they didn't choose?
Well, I mean, we would not be there to cover. I mean, they would not be there to be violent. That's all.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. So here's a kid, young man, I should say, who was, they were going to do a mass media project filming bum fights. Their fathers and the school told them no or they'd be suspended. So instead, they're going over to a Walmart after Thanksgiving on a Black Friday in the hopes that they can videotape a riot. And he says that they're not trying to instigate one. Now, they got signs that say that the prices are lower than they really are. They're talking about dirty cheap this and dirty cheap that. And they've got their cameras at the ready. This is what I call creating the news as opposed to reporting the news. 877-876-PHIL. Your call's next for Justin McElroy here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
That's what we said.
On the line with me is Justin McElroy, a high school junior in a mass media class at L.A. Canyon High School. They were caught, basically, by the school trying to film bum fights, which I find to be disgusting, as many people do. And, Justin, I'm sorry to have to judge you that way, but I do. Now, you have said that you want to go out and you want to continue your effort. The school has given you another chance. You're going to be at a Walmart on Black Friday. And you say you want to be there to cover or document the violence.
Mr. Henry, one thing. I'm a very big admirer, and many of us are, of Geraldo Rivera. And he was also, he did documentaries. And you have to do documentaries that show how it is, you know. And so it's violent. It's a violent world. And the Walmart Black Friday is always a violent event, and we want to be there to show that. And
all right, if you want to be there to show that, I understand you want to see Walmart, you know, having violence, but why are you trying to provoke it with signs that are talking about dirty cheap and prices that don't exist?
First of all, Walmarts are violent on Black Friday. Everyone knows about it. To get a explosion, Mr. Henry, sometimes you have to light a fuse. And
so what would you say to anyone that would say to you, you're causing the violence?
I'd say, obviously, they don't know nothing about Walmart. And
they don't know anything about Walmart.
Yeah. If they said we are causing the violence just by being there with a camera and telling people, yeah, they got, you know, go on in, man, they got $30 Blu-ray, then they don't know nothing about Walmart, and they don't know nothing about probably anything about Black Friday.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call, and I got some more questions here for Justin McElroy. Dave in Flagstaff, Arizona. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, yeah. It just sounds like he doesn't know about Walmart because, I mean, not every Walmart is violent and has a riot. I mean, it just happened to be one case in New York that a man died, and that's very unfortunate, but it just seems like he misconstrues this Black Friday that everywhere is a riot. And just being on the public radio, I don't see why Walmart doesn't step in and find out about this and not allow them to have cameras even in the store or their signs. I mean,
that's right. What do you Justin? What do you think if Walmart just tells you to get off their parking lot?
I don't think they have the constitutional right to tell me that I don't have the right to. I'm not going to be in their store. I'm gonna be watching people busting through the windows. And as far as it's not always violent, that we know of, they only reported the one incident in Valley Stream. But when you've got a lot of product from China that is worth $5, and most of the people that go to Walmart are low-income, poor, or, you know, pretty poor people, you're going to have a situation of a window getting busted in and, you know, people pouring in for it. So I don't know how Walmart can keep me out. And
well, you sound to me like a guy that's looking forward to this, and that's the part that's bothering me. The part,
what's bothering you?
The part, well, the part that you are looking forward to, windows getting busted in, and...
No, I want to show people what happens on Black Friday. And, yeah, I mean, when I told our junior class advisor that we wanted to document people are get violent for money and they wouldn't let us do the bum fights, I said the next best thing is Walmart, because people will fight for cheap Chinese junk. I mean,
All right, Dave, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. People will fight for cheap Chinese junk. You've said that a couple of times. Is that what you're quibbling over?
No, I mean, I just want to show the American people the roots of violence are cheap. It's just cheap junk that the Chinese send. And that's one thing. And then the other thing is to show people how Americans are so, like, cheap that cheap Chinese junk is what they want to have.
Right. And the, okay, we'll be back with Justin McElroy on his documentary on Black Friday and the violence that will be at Walmart. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back. The groundbreaking world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Justin McElroy, a high school junior from L.A. Canyon High School in northern Los Angeles County. We're talking about a mass media project, you might say, gone wrong at the high school. Is that, Justin, you were going to film bums fighting, which you were basically threatened with suspension if you went through with that mass media project. Not only were you threatened with suspension, but your father's got involved, and I say my hat's off to your dad's.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Henry, in retrospect, I'm very glad my father got involved there. You know,
I mean, that just it doesn't do anything for you guys to do something like that to degrade people that way. But now you want to go to a Walmart, and you want to see a riot break out. It sounds to me as if you are trying to instigate it.
No, sir. But what I said to you, Mr. Henry, and I want, my teachers are, you know, Mr. Cockrell, who is our junior class advisor, to know, is that we're not trying. I said to him that we wanted to have the footage of a riot at the Walmart so we'd be able to have it, you know, the syndication rights to it for CNN or Channel 5 or one of those stations. Because I told him when we submitted our proposal, I said, this is not going to be no, you know, I report, you know.
And what does that mean, that's not going to be any I report?
Well, we're not giving away. If you look on TV, they tell you, hey, you know, do an I report or do a U report or something, where they want you to send them.
Where they want you to send video footage for free?
Yeah, exactly. And I said, I don't think so. You know, that ain't going to happen. And so when the riot breaks out, we have the footage. And
how do you know a riot's going to break out?
Because we're not going to have signs, but we are going to be in the crowd, you know, and we're going to be pushing against the door like everybody else is, you know.
So you're going to try to instigate it?
No, sir.
Well, if you're standing in the crowd, are you there with a camera?
I'll have a camera. I got one of the other guys that I'm working with is doing sound. And
all right, so you're standing with a camera, another guy's with a sound, you know, recorder, and you're pushing.
But everybody will not notice it because you are doing it. You're pushing. Everyone's pushing. And the point is that if we push and we get at least get it going, then I can record it, and then we can sell it to CNN because we're not doing no iReport. And that's the part that I said to Mr. Cockrell, it was the best part on account of we're going to get money for it.
All right, well, you're going to get money for your video footage starting this ruckus, starting this riot at a Walmart. You're going to sell it to CNN or Channel 5 or whoever you think you're going to sell it to. You're going to get your money. And in the meantime, you guys don't know what it is that you've started. Maybe someone's going to get hurt.
They're going to get hurt whether we were there or not. They're still going to be pushing against people, but we're going to have the footage, and we're going to not. And it's not going to be no iReport.
Yeah, I get it about the iReport. I do. 877-876-PHIL. On the line here is Marshall on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Marshall.
Yeah, I want to tell Justin, I'm 50 right now, and you sound like to me you're about 16 years old, and I was from money, I come from money when I was younger, now I'm a poor person, I'm homeless. I've listened to you on a Bose stereo, so I ain't got no cheap stereo, okay, buddy? Well, anyway.
Well, how come you're homeless?
What, how do I got a Bose?
No, how come you're homeless when you had money?
I'm on disability. I lost my leg when I was a little kid. I got hit by a train. Tragic stuff happened to my family. My dad died when I was young. Things happened. I want to ask you a question, man. You asked me
one. Did you go on the railroad tracks or something?
Yeah, I was.
You were on the railroad track.
I was playing on the train when I was a kid.
Well,
anyway,
see,
let me ask
that's
you.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. You could hear the train coming, though, right?
The what?
You could hear the train coming.
Oh, of course,
yeah.
I did. I tried to hop on it, buddy. You ain't never jumped on a train before? Well, I did.
What?
Okay? It cut my leg off. I got to ask
what?
You, coming from that money.
I tried to run away from a train, not to run under the train.
He didn't run under the train. He tried to jump on the train.
Tried to jump on the
train. If I see a train coming, I want to run away from it.
Okay, that's fine. I want to hear what the man's trying to ask you a question.
Yeah,
he ran under a train.
Under a train. Go
you
ahead, Marshall.
Cheap electronics, right? Who bought that camera for you?
What's that?
Did you buy that camera you got? You're going to shoot this with. Did you buy that camera? Or did your dad buy it for you?
The school district.
Huh?
The school district bought it? The school?
They bought it. Well, see, somebody bought that for you. It ain't like you're going to buy something now. You know, this Bose I got costs $500. And you're talking about people standing in line for a $30 Blu-ray. I tell you, man, if anybody catches this radio show and you do what you're doing, buddy, you better pray nobody gets hurt at your little extravaganza. You know,
yeah, but you're on the radio talking about having a $500 radio. Somebody's liable to roll you with your one leg.
What are you talking about?
You got me calmed down on that, buddy.
Check that out, man.
You know, just because I got one leg don't mean that I ain't got two arms.
Yeah, but somebody's going to roll you while you're sleeping under a bridge tonight.
We're not talking about this man right now.
Hey, all homeless people don't sleep under bridges, buddy. See, that's where you get the false idea, like you think you can wave a dollar. You know, if you waved a dollar at me and told me to go smack somebody, I'd smack you.
What if I
you
waved
that?
A $20? What if I waved $20 in front of
I'd probably smack you about three times then. And
what if I waved $100?
If you had $100, it'd be a few of us on you.
What
we'd
about
get
a thousand?
You money. Oh, buddy, we'd take your money from you. See, if you mess around with people...
So, the more money you got, they're going to kick your ass and take your money from you.
Yeah, my father would be there.
It don't care who you got with you, man. Believe me, when you mess with somebody that ain't got no money, and you got money, and you go in the wrong place, buddy, Justin, you're going to get hurt.
Father
you better grow up. Go ahead.
Well, so... If you're not homeless, then you're not sleeping under a bridge. Well, how could you be homeless and you're not under a bridge?
I got friends, man. I got people I stay with.
See? I told you. Told you.
Well, okay, fine, Justin. Will you listen to what this man's saying? He's saying basically that if you start a riot, if you're pushing people.
Yeah.
You're, you know. What are you saying, Marshall?
Yeah, you don't even know what he's saying.
I know what he's saying.
You put dope?
If he provokes a homeless person, man, you got somebody that has nothing to lose. Yeah, they'll go to jail, because that could be right there a place for them to get three hots and a cot. So them to smack a little kid like you and take your money would be nothing to them. Nothing.
Yeah, but what if my father's chauffeur pistol whipped you?
Your father's chauffeur?
Yeah.
Do you believe that? Come on, man. Pull my leg, it comes off, you know?
Hey, you know in Titanic that one chauffeur had a pistol and everything? Father has a chauffeur.
If you pull my leg, it comes off, Justin. Come on now.
All right, well, look. Marshall, the best of luck to you, man. I hope that you...
Yeah, I hope you get three hots and a cot. But
thank you.
Remember this. Remember this, sir. Remember this. Your $500 Bose, if you hawk that, you could get a bowl of Hardy Man stew.
I've been like that already.
You already had your dinner, huh? See, he already had his dinner.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he has. But I'm talking about something that came off a stove. I'm not trying to hurt you. What I'm trying to do is tell you that Father needs somebody in the garage to work on his cars.
All right. Thanks very much, Marshall. 877-876-PHIL. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
What'd you hang up for?
I'm not going to have you jiving this guy. Father needs someone in the garage.
Father has a chauffeur like that man in Titanic who would pistol whip a bum.
Let's not call people bums. I don't like that. And what that guy was trying to say was basically, if you provoke a riot among very hungry people...
I'm not talking about homeless people. I'm talking about the people that riot at Walmart. They're almost... Well, they're not almost homeless, but they have homes. They just don't have Blu-ray players on account of they can't afford one.
What do you plan to do with this project?
What project?
The video you're shooting.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to take it in for a grade, and hopefully if I got a passing grade in my mass media, that makes up for the incomplete that I got the last semester, and that'll pretty much get me set for that. And then I only have one other class I got to take for graduation, which is, it's not telecommunications, it's TV journalism, and then I'm set.
What do you want to do?
With my life?
Yeah.
I want to pretty much do something like Geraldo Rivera done, go and do... reporting, and then, I don't know, but I'm not Mexican, so...
What's that got to do with it?
Well, I mean...
He's not even Mexican, he's Puerto Rican. What's that got to do with it?
Well, I guess I could be successful, but these days you got to be, you know, kind of a PR.
All right, look at kid. Good luck, and you know what? I'm glad they stopped you from the bum fights and your stupid Walt these days... You tell that kid to straighten his act out. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, on this Monday night. More of your calls to come. Sarah Palin's reality show, how'd that go? I didn't watch it because the promo sucked. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
I mean, I didn't mean PR. I meant I'm not black.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and visit our website, philhenryshow.com. We had a great Sunday night Phil last night. Every Sunday night for 3 hours, we have classic hours from our archives, and we ran 3 hours on the website last night, and they were fantastic, including a famous one having to do with Jeff Dowder cloning Jesus from the Shroud of Turin. And some of that's going to pop up as our Classic Phil podcast this week, so watch for it there on our website. We got Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard in our news hour next hour. They're hanging here in the studio right now. We're going to just get to a couple of stories we had. One of them was the Sarah Palin TV show. that because I watch a lot of Discovery Channel, and TLC and Discovery may be owned by the same, I think they are, yeah, they are owned by the same people, or close to being owned by the same people, or cross, I don't know, but in any event.
Well, they have a lot of the same promos and everything.
Yeah, but I don't know if they are owned by, Discovery owns TLC, okay. So that's why I see them a lot.
You always watch an ID.
Yeah, I watch ID, so I see their, because that Sarah Palin promo was everywhere last week, man. It was like every single break, they were plugging that show, which goes to show you that effective promotion is always very, very smart. Now, I don't have anything against Sarah Palin. I don't think she doesn't politically excite me, only because I don't agree with a lot of things she says. I don't hate her. I don't have a problem with her. I don't think she's a fascist. I think the very simple-minded fools who don't understand political thought or political speak or political philosophy, or who think it's just a club you belong to. I think there's a lot of people that don't like her because she's female, although they wouldn't admit it. They don't like her because she's opinionated, although they wouldn't admit that. They don't like her because she's a conservative. I don't dislike her because she's a conservative or anything. There's just a couple of things she says. I don't dig it.
Like what?
Well, for starters, I compare her to a lot of people this way. There's plenty of people that were running for president on the Democratic side that were just as clueless. When they asked her finally, well, give us an idea of what you would do as president. And she slowed down. And I could tell that she hadn't really thought about how she would answer a question like that, because she immediately went to, well, Ronald Reagan, let's just do what Reagan did. Now, that's not very creative or interesting thinking. And that also shows me that that's not something she's thought about, a question she's thought about answering. I'm not saying she doesn't have a political philosophy, but on the other side, on the Democratic side, I saw that all the time. All the time, that thinking. Saw it with Kerry in 2004. I saw it with Clinton this year. I don't see really interesting, creative people in the political sphere when it comes to how they express themselves. All right, so anyway, but Palin, beyond that, she's not a bad person. Now, the TV show Sarah Palin's Alaska drew 5 million viewers. That is a record for the Learning Channel. That's a record for them. And they drew that crowd fairly evenly between two very, very valuable demographics. They had 1.8 million of 25, 54-year-olds, and 1.6 million of 18 to 49-year-olds, two of the network's key demographics. That is the best premiere in network history with regards to total viewership. It even beat their 2003 debut of What Not to Wear. The series had its origins earlier in the year. Mark Burnett, now this is the guy I think that's behind Survivor, if I'm not mistaken. Mark Burnett and Sarah Palin both shopped this to the big networks, and The Apprentice, Mark Burnett is from. And so here's a guy behind Survivor and behind The Apprentice, and the big networks passed. And I don't know how smart that is, but that's, you know.
They probably didn't want to have it on account of she's a conservative.
Why do you say that, man?
Well, why wouldn't they not have it on?
And why you got to yell for, man?
Yeah, what are you yelling for, bud?
I'm not yelling. I'm just telling.
Shut up, man. You're yelling. Hey, how come they don't have the thing on?
I'm just saying that I don't want to have Sarah Palin on. Because of the politics.
It could be.
Why?
Well, why not? You got Mark Burnett, who is behind Survivor and The Apprentice. Now, if there's a guy that knows how to put a hit TV show on the air, that guy does. Why wouldn't you just on principle alone say Mark Burnett just walked in here with Sarah Palin, it's got to be a hit, I'll take it.
Man, they're not going to have Sarah Palin. How's she going to get, who wants to watch her?
Are you hearing what I'm saying, man?
You just said the guy that started Survivor.
I don't care.
You don't care. In other words, the cat that put Survivor and The Apprentice on the air, which are two smash hits, you think that guy's got his head up his ass when it comes to Sarah Palin.
Yeah, I do. Because no, I'm not going to watch that. You didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it, man, because I forgot it was on. I forgot it was on. Well, 5 million is a great debut for the show and TLC. The question now becomes, what will it draw on a regular basis for the network? Most programs lose viewers from their debut, but some are able to grow due to positive reviews, buzz, or word of mouth. How many people are interested in checking into Sarah Palin's Alaska over the long haul? We'll have to wait and find out. Now, I think we have a clip from the show. And while fishing with her husband, Todd, while fishing with her husband, Todd, and her daughter, Piper, and Cousin McKinley and Brother Jethro. And no, while she's fishing with her husband, Todd, daughter Piper, and husband Piper.
What?
I mean, while fishing with her...
Her husband McKinley.
Her husband McKinley. Will you get out of here, her husband McKinley?
Not McKinley.
McKinley is the cousin.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I thought that's the... Okay, that's the daughter.
The daughter is Todd.
What? No.
Not Todd. The daughter's Piper. Will you shut up? The daughter's Piper, the husband's Todd, and the cousin's McKinley.
McKinley.
McKinley. Anyway, they encounter two bears and a pair of cubs.
She's trying to show her cubs. Nobody's going to do them for you. Right. You get
come on, let's see the cubs, baby.
Guys. Roar!
What?
When the baby bears came, that was really exciting.
Yeah. That's great.
Piper, don't scare the cubs. Piper, don't. Don't. Look at his claws, McKinley. We'll back up because if he decides to jump in the water, we will say, let's go.
Sean, what did you think?
Huh? She's going to hell, this bitch.
So how about that? Sean Hannity, I'm kidding, he said. So that's very nice. And so that was Sarah Palin. Now, in the next episode, she goes Grizzly Man on us. And so there they were with the cubs and Piper and everyone. That's nice. And here's the thing. They believe that this show is going to show Alaska as a beautiful... Well, it's already. I mean, you don't have to... It is a beautiful place, but it'll promote Alaska, you know?
Well, why do they want to have more people come to Alaska, man? I would think they want to keep the people out of... keep it...
Yeah, just keep it beautiful.
Well, no, man. They don't look at every state in the union. I don't care which one it is. I don't care if it's the least populous, most beautiful, pristine state in the union. They all want business investment. They all want people, people, people. People mean money, and money means growth. And Alaska is, look, Alaska is one big untapped potential thing up there, man. You know.
What about all that oil?
The oil thing is done, man. I mean, they've got oil, but they don't have as much as they had. There's a lot of other things they can do up there. Now, one of the things that I agree with this guy, I shouldn't, because we don't have a lot of time. I don't like the idea of any resources being shipped out of any one place to go to another place so they can be used in that place, giving jobs to that other place. What's happening in Alaska, whether it's timber or other resources, they leave the state and they come down to the lower 48 where people are put to work developing or using those resources to sell. Why not keep it in Alaska and have it develop there?
Say that again.
I don't believe... Now I'm out of time. We'll be back. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Henry Show. Let's see. Coming back with a teacher makes a student take off her Confederate flag belt buckle and her pants fall to the ground. And then everybody gets...
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Someone is going to pat you down, and they will be raising
you can feel the excitement in this room, because there are some major shoppers.
You saw it on Veterans Day, saying, hey, so many have given...
I'm late for the meals, I mean for the customers.
I'll murder you and come at you again in the afterlife. My brother, you can't bring harm with guns.
Boy, what a headache.
World famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show where we know what we're talking about, and the truth is our bitch on this show. Through the looking glass, beyond anywhere, we go to find out for you what's happening, and we go places other talk shows cannot go. They wish they could, they can't. And that's just the truth, man. 877-876-PHIL in our... Our web address, philhendryshow.com. Yes, my brother, it's a multimedia kind of a world. That's right. That's right. You have to get plugged in, man. Are you? What have you got? What do you got, bud?
I got BlackBerry.
I got Android.
BlackBerry, Android. I got me an iPhone. See? Now, you can go on online and watch us, if you will, on the BlackBerry or the Android. We're going to get on-demand video on the iPhone. All of our audio, though, is available on demand, and the, I believe, is the live streaming? No, the live streaming video, not on the iPhone. But the point is, using your mobile device on Evo or Android, you can watch our streaming video right now. So wherever you go in the evening hours, if you're not at home and you're not watching us, we're more portable than television. You can watch good old Phil here easier than you can watch whatever on TV. So check us out on your mobile device. And like I was saying, we've got plans to go HD. I don't know who's going to get HD quicker, me or Mark and Brian, you know.
They probably got more money and everything.
Yeah, that's right. They probably got more money. Why don't you shut up, man?
Yeah, what are you talking about, man? They do.
All right, so maybe they got more money, okay? I own the show. They're working for who? They got other guys, man, with the deep pockets, okay? Anyway, 877-876-PHIL. Here is our number one story this hour, although there's probably about a half a dozen others. We'll get to them. But the big one that jumped out at me, the one that grabbed me by the nose and just smacked me, Florida dealer offers free AK. Ah, that's boring. No, I'm kidding. Florida dealer offers AK-47 for truck buyers. Business has more than doubled. Now, Nations Trucks proudly advertises on its website, "We sell trucks, not gimmicks." We sell trucks, not gimmicks, but we give away rifles. Anyway, the Central Florida dealership has found a unique way to drive up business. It's now offering a perk for potential used truck buyers, a free AK-47 assault rifle. Yes! General Sales Manager Nick Janetta said that since the promotion was announced on Veterans Day, business has more than doubled. Customers would have to pass a background check before using the $400 gun shop voucher, which they say can also apply toward the purchase of other firearms. What does that mean? So, oh, I see. So you're going to get a $400 gun shop voucher from the dealership if you buy one of their trucks. Janetta, whose showroom sports mounted deer head, said he believed it was a perfect Veterans Day promotion. We started on Veterans Day saying, hey, so many have given so much for this right. In lieu of a firearms voucher, buyers could also request a check instead. But as Janetta told CBS affiliate WKMG, our clientele is not going to complain about a gun. But why an AK-47 assault rifle? He said, well, to be specific, an AK-47 was going to be controversial. The dealership has fielded some complaints about the promotion, which runs through the end of November. I don't see how he's giving away an AK-47. It's a $400 gun shop voucher is what it is, right?
Yeah, but he said he's going to get an AK-47.
Well, I think what he's saying is you can get an AK-47 if you want to.
Yeah, you get an AK-47 if you want to, but use the $400 anything you want.
Then why would you say AK-47?
So he can sell trucks. So it sounds like he's giving away AK-47s. He's giving away a $400 gun voucher. Why don't you look up how much an AK-47 costs, okay? Then we'll find out whether this guy's talking out of his ass or not. How about that?
Well, I mean, we mean.
Look up and find out what an AK-47 new costs. If this guy's giving away a $400 gun shop voucher, which is fine, and I got no complaint with the promotion, by the way, none whatsoever. You know, I've said it a million times, and I'll say it a million and one times, and it's gotten to the point, the argument about guns has gotten so asinine and so embarrassing that many people who are Democrats or liberals, and some would consider that to traditionally be an anti-gun group, have had to come out and say, wait a second, I own a gun. I'm a liberal, I'm a Democrat, I'm a whatever you want to call me, I own a gun. Ain't got nothing to do with whether I believe in the right to own a gun. Now, according to the information I have here from Rants, the AK-47 starts at $350. $350. This guy gives you a $400 gun shop voucher.
That must mean that you'll only be able to buy the cheap one.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I agree, man. That's like rock bottom price.
Probably. I mean, you know, if you wanted to upgrade, you'd have to spend more.
What do you mean upgrade?
Well, if you wanted to get the really, you know, top of the line AK-47, whatever the hell that is. All right, AK-47s, according to this dealer, this guy, Mr. Janetta, it's they're going like hotcakes. Let's listen to some of the comments that he made for a news organization. Here is Nick Janetta explaining to WKMG television. He only chose an AK-47 because the controversy would create buzz.
We started on Veterans Day saying, hey, so many have given so much for this right. Our clientele is not going to complain about a gun. Well, to be specific, an AK-47 was going to be controversial.
All right, here he is saying it's not like he's handing out machine guns to customers.
We don't give away guns. I give away vouchers. You have to meet all state, federal regulations. You can go down and buy an AK-47 without buying a truck. So it's not something that we're giving. We're not giving away machine guns. Right now, you don't have to get an AK-47. You can use the voucher, get a different kind of gun.
Right.
You don't want a gun, I'll give you $400 so you can go buy Christmas gifts for the kids. You want to take the cash off the truck. You want to check for $400, like I said, to go buy Christmas presents or whatever. We don't care.
It ain't no thing.
Yeah, I'm going to say, like, you don't want the gun. I'll give you the $400. You go down and buy yourself a pair of panties.
He did not.
It did sound like he was going to say that, you know.
No, he didn't. He just said, you can buy Christmas presents.
What do you mean Christmas presents?
Christmas presents. It did sound like he was about to say, oh, you want the four? You don't want the AK-47? Here's $400. Go on down and buy yourself a pair of high heels. Anyway, some of the prices of AK-47s run up to $1,000. So he said exactly what we thought he was saying. You know, here's $400. You can buy an AK-47. It's part of a promotional pitch, and you have to understand that that is what it's going to be. And what's happening? How do you interpret all that? What's happening is that the gun ownership constituency in America is reasserting itself and has been reasserting itself since we found that gun control is a failure in addressing the problems of violent crime. It is a failure. It has been a failure. It doesn't make any sense. It's not logical, but, you know, we had to go through the motions of addressing a horrible problem, violent crime, addressing it with an illogical, ridiculous solution, which is to control the number of weapons there are. Well, that's not the way to do it, you know.
Well, what about, like, in Canada? They don't have no crime and everything.
Everybody brings up Canada, man. You know, I got to tell you, I don't even know. I haven't looked into it. And maybe they don't have the kind of crime that we have, but they do have guys getting gutted and beheaded on buses.
Yeah, what about that, man?
What do you mean? But that one guy?
Yeah, what about that?
They probably have, if they would have, like, knife control.
What do you mean knife control, man?
Knife control?
Yeah, if they had knife control, how are you going to, he never would have done that.
Knife control. So if they got knife control, that guy never would have been gutted and beheaded, huh? Maybe if they'd had knife control but not gun control.
Yeah, then the guy just would have been shot.
I think I'd like knife control, you know?
Me too.
I think I'd rather the guy just get shot than be sitting on the bus while a guy is systematically gutted and beheaded by a psycho.
Jeez. You're using that one excuse to make Canada look bad.
What is it with you, man? What do you mean, Canada?
Canada, I mean.
No, I ain't, man. I'm just telling you that violence is going to occur regardless of whether a certain weapon is available or not. Here's a guy that was sitting on a bus. He pulled out a skinning knife, and he went to work on some guy, and all that guy said was, quit bothering that girl.
Really, man? Is that all he did?
That's all that guy did. I mean, maybe he did it in a very aggressive way, but I don't think he did it in any way, shape, or form that would merit having his head mounted on the hood.
Are you kidding me?
What are you, nuts? Did you not hear about that story?
I thought you guys were kidding.
Kidding about what?
No, man, it happened, you idiot. Happened 2 summers ago.
I don't know what it was in the summer.
I think so.
The guy got his head cut off?
What a baby, man.
Well, what are you guys saying?
Are you kidding me? You didn't hear that story?
No.
Some guy's riding on a bus in, as you call it, Canada, and he's coming down from, I don't know where the hell he's coming from, and he's going somewhere else. He's on this bus, and there's this maniac sitting there, and this maniac is bothering this chick that's sitting in the bus, right?
Yeah.
And so the guy goes, quit bothering her, and this crazy guy pulls out a knife, and the next thing you know, the dude's, you know,
lost his head.
So, and that's in Canada, where they ain't got no guns, according to you.
I don't know if they don't have no guns or anything, but...
Dude, they may not have guns, they may have guns. I don't know. But one thing they got is they got violent people just like we do. They ain't got as many. You want to know why?
Why?
Because they ain't got as many people. But they got people up there, man, that are cuckoo. Don't worry about it. All right, 877-87... Oh, here it is. The guy's name was Vince... What was this? Vince Weiguang Lee. Vince Weiguang Lee. Remember this guy? It was. You're right. It was. It was in July of 2008.
I was right, man. I knew it was in the summertime.
It was. And this poor guy, man, and this Lee is apparently psychotic because he told the cops later, why don't you guys just kill me? You know, he's just kill me. And I think he had a psychotic episode. I think he had a crazy-ass psychotic episode.
Well, do you think? No, he had a headache.
Well, Bud, there's a lot of reasons why people will kill, man. It doesn't necessarily have to mean he's psychotic. He might just be a murderous, no-good, two-bit piece of garbage.
Well, what do you think he is?
If he's psychotic, he's sick.
Oh, man, don't start getting touchy-feely.
I ain't getting touchy-feely. I'm just telling you, if a guy's psychotic, it's different. There's some mental illness happening there, man. I mean, there's some of these cats, they see people. You know, you understand what I'm saying? They hallucinate stuff. They're listening to voices. They got dogs talking to them and chipmunks and all kinds of stuff.
Who's the guy that killed people when a chipmunk told him to?
What guy?
What are you talking about?
That one guy? The Son of Sam?
Son of Sam, it was a dog.
Wasn't no chipmunk.
It was a dog, man. Yeah, that was David Berkowitz. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Wow, this guy is now serving a sentence in a high-security mental hospital. Hey, you know, that reminds me of something. All these people that are against the death penalty, but you know what? I'd rather he spend the rest of his life in jail thinking about what he did. Ain't that torture?
What do you mean, man?
Ain't that torture? If you tell a guy, I want you to spend prison the rest of your life, I am against the death penalty, I want him to stay in prison the rest of his life so he can think about every day what he did. That's torture.
Get out of here.
All right, well, we'll be back and we'll talk about it. The woman who was caught in a racial tirade against a black postal worker is now under police protection. Plus, did Will Ferrell's Megamind stop Denzel Washington's Unstoppable at the box office this weekend? We'll find out. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
PhilHendryShow.com right now, live streaming video of the show. Head on over, check out the archives, look at our video on demand, look at our, we got some webisodes, some animated webisodes over there, our old video casts, our old TV pilots, a lot of stuff, thousands of hours of archives. Here is the story that we were remiss in a little bit over the last few days, but I wanted to really get this thing to heat up, man. I wanted this thing to go, what do you call it, viral, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so a Massachusetts woman under police watch now after a video of her racist attack on a mailman go viral. Massachusetts woman was put under police watch Saturday after a video of her allegedly attacking a mailman and using racist language made her the target of an internet hate campaign, according to the Boston Herald. Erica Winchester was seen in the video demanding that former mail carrier, former Jean Hookson, take back a certified letter for which she had signed. When Hookson refuses to take back the letter, Winchester is seen repeatedly using the N-word, telling him that African-Americans, quote, turn on each other, end quote. She also appears to slap Hookson in the face. It was a 2009 video, and the footage of this incident was uploaded last month to YouTube, according to, at least allegedly, by Mr. Hookson. Users tracked down and posted on the web details of Winchester's home address in Hingham, Massachusetts, and her phone number. The video was posted on several national blogs last week. Here is, in the video caught by the letter carrier's cell phone, Erica Winchester in a racial tirade because she wanted to give back a certified letter that she'd signed for.
Take it back because it's not mine.
Man, I cannot give you this.
You want the signature, you thief. You want me to lock you up for life, you give me my signature.
Man,
ma'am. And I'm not prejudiced, but right now I'm getting real pissed off.
Why are you calling me names? I mean, I'm just delivering your bill.
Because you're acting like a now give me the cards back.
Wow. Here's Winchester saying white people will kill the postal worker.
Ma'am, I'm late for the mails. I mean, for the customers. I have to deliver their mail. You're holding me up.
They'll kill you.
Why you would have killed me, ma'am?
I don't, but they will.
Who?
White people. We're just doing what I need to do right now.
This broad is either sick or she's begging for it. After allegedly slapping the postal worker, Winchester says black people killed Martin Luther King.
Ma'am, why you slap me, ma'am? Why you slap me,
ma'am? Taking things off you, idiot.
Ma'am, why you slapping me?
Why do you want to do this? You killed Martin Luther King, you turn on each
she's
other.
Psycho.
But you turn on me, I'm your leader, you're dumb.
Ma'am.
You're going to all go under.
Winchester then lectures the postal worker on how black women turn against black women, black men, and how black people are not intelligent.
The black women are against the black men because they've been exploited so much. They're with the Hitler-esque people. They're with the white people. They work against black men underneath it all. There are very few white women who have the strength to work with for the black
men. Can you give me a chance to call my employer before you slap me again?
I cannot, and you're going to turn on me, and then...
I'm not going to turn on you, man.
But your IQs are lower, and so therefore the people who need to help you, you don't believe in. Because you've been kept from being educated in the norm stream for so many years. But the other people forged ahead, and it's true, you have to understand this. My mother taught in a black school, okay? Oh. I looked at all the IQ scores of the kids. Well, listen to me. She taught at a black
I don't want to hear that story.
This guy is trying to get to work, and this psycho stupid bitch keeps running her yap. The only reason why she shouldn't have the crap kicked out of her is because she sounds like she's mentally ill, too.
What are you talking about, man?
Are you kidding me? Did you hear this psycho bitch? She's nuts.
How do you figure she's nuts?
On a whole lot of bull crap about Martin Luther, the black people killed by Martin Luther King. No rational human being, even if she was the queen bee of the Ku Klux Klan. I don't know what the hell they call those guys.
What?
What do they call the one that's the head of the Klan?
They call it the Grand... Like Mystic, well, the Grand Mystic.
The Grand Mystic? If she was the Grand Mystic. The Grand Mystic?
No, man, they call her like a Cyclops or something. Grand Cyclops Wizard.
If she was the Grand Cyclops Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, man, she wouldn't be rapping like that because she'd know better. Even the Klan ain't that dumb. They're going to sit there yakking to some cat like that. That bitch is nuts. Anyway, after this crap got up on the internet, harassment from users of web forums like 4chan prompted police to put her under watch. Because of the attention that this has gotten in the media, we feel she needs to have protection over there right now. Boy, you know, one of the interesting things about police and how they react is that if something gets enough attention, then the cops will go over there and do, and I'm not complaining, but do you realize there are women all over the country who are under threat from some ex-husband or boyfriend. They're under the threat of violence from some guy, and they're having to hide out in a woman's shelter, or they're having to hide out with a relative, or they're having to hide out in a car someplace. But the cops are all running over there to Hingham, Massachusetts, to keep this bitch, Erica Winchester, under surveillance. Ain't that something, huh? All right, well, good luck, lady. And in the box office this weekend, Megamind number one. Megamind made $29 million. They're down 36%. You guys are, you better start getting on it here, Megamind, because you're blowing it. Unstoppable, they made $22 million. They are even from last week. So Unstoppable may be unstoppable, man. They debut at number two. Oh, they weren't even on last week, so there you go. And due date, number three, they're down 50%. Let's see, is anybody on the charts from last week who actually stayed even or went up? No, everybody is down at least 30%. So that means that the movies that are out these days, eh. But Megamind number one, Unstoppable number two, due date number three, Skyline. Skyline looks pretty good. It looks like Independence Day. We need another Independence Day, man. We'll be back on the world famous Phil Hendry Show and the, the internet's latest folk hero, 14-year-old gay kid defending his teacher.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and our web address, philhendryshow.com. You can also send me email over there at philhendryshow.com, and you can check our website after the show. We have a show log that we put up. We also have a log there from our Sunday Night Phil presentation. So if you missed Sunday Night Phil and you want to go back to the website and check out the hours that we played on Sunday Night Phil, we have a a log there for you from that program. Here's a story. These you guys know me well enough. This is the stuff that drives me out of my mind. And I understand I'm probably in a quandary like a lot of people. You know, there are days when I feel like the parents of this country are going to drive what's left of our public school systems right straight into the swamp. I mean, in my opinion, much of what's happened to public school education in this country is the fault of parents. And then there are days when the teachers are, you know, bugging me, right? But more days than not, I side with the teachers. Now, here's one, and why? Because they're the ones that got the education, for the most part. I don't ever hear about a parent, and forgive me for saying this, but I don't ever hear about a parent saying something or doing something that is makes sense for a school. What are these people, what are they talking about? What are the parents talking about? I think we need to take Tom Sawyer out of the library. Yeah, all right. And why can't my daughter go to the dance wearing a thong with her ass hanging out? What's wrong with that? And how dare they throw my kid out of the school in this instance because she's wearing a Confederate belt buckle. Now, understand that this day at Howell High School in Howell, Michigan, was Spirit Day. Now, do you know what Spirit Day was? Spirit Day was the day when all the kids across the country got together and they made a statement about gay kids that were hanging themselves. They were trying to put together a spirit of unity and understanding and create a community feeling that no whether the kids are gay or straight, we're all students, we're members of the academic community of America, we support each other, and our primary purpose is to get educated, to get into the world, and make this country even greater than it is. Now, that's the theory. Now, along comes a student who's got a Confederate belt buckle. And there's a teacher at this school, Howell High School, who is my new hero. His name is Jay McDowell. And he said to her, this is Spirit Day, and according to the rules of student behavior at this high school, we are to foster an academic environment and foster an environment where learning is promoted. And on this particular day, that belt buckle, that Confederate flag belt buckle, is in violation of that spirit. I want you to take that off. And the parent of this kid says, well, as long as the kids are wearing purple for Spirit Day, why can't we wear a belt buckle for Confederate Day? Meaning what, man? What does that mean? In other words, the Confederate state, it's already, you guys have got a public relations problem, you realize, with that Confederate flag. You understand that, don't you? When every time anybody sees that thing, they think it is slavery. And then you cats turn around and say, that isn't fair. It's all about Southern culture and Southern this and Southern that. And I would accept that, except for the fact that I happen to know a few Southerners whose families go hundreds of years back in the South. Hundreds of years. And they happen to be black. And they don't think nothing of that Confederate flag. Now, they're from the South.
What are you talking about?
Where you been?
In the bathroom? Yeah, we're out of toilet paper, too.
Will you guys get out of here with the toilet paper?
I don't know.
What am I talking about?
I'm trying to get it to flush.
So, the Confederate flag argument is fine, and I don't care, and I, honest to God, I don't care. Wear it, fly it, do whatever the hell you want with it. The problem is, when the kid goes to school, what's school? Well, that's a place where kids go. You know what a kid is, don't you? They're under 18. They don't have any legal rights. They're not of a majority age. They're not responsible. So that's when parents come in, or adults. The parents aren't around, so the adults are there. And what are those called? Teachers. And the teacher says, today is Spirit Day. I'm making a judgment call here. Take off the Confederate belt buckle. The school was participating in Spirit Day, October 20th, a voluntary event for students designed to raise awareness about anti-gay bullying. Now, one of the students, a junior by the name of Daniel Glowacki, a 16-year-old idiot. And when I say idiot, he's just some punk that opened his yap while the teacher was disciplining somebody else. He argued with McDowell over the request to remove the buckle, asking how his classmates' Confederate flag insignia was different from the students wearing purple for Spirit Day. The local union says the student also made, quote, inappropriate and offensive statements regarding gay students. So Daniel Glowacki, you guys will be happy to know up there in Howell, Michigan, this dumbass kid now has the Confederate flag representing gay kids hanging themselves. Why not, man? How come I can't wear this? Everybody else got on purple. Now, I ain't blaming this kid. I apologize, kid. Your parents are the stupid ones. I'm sorry you were born into that kind of a family. There's no question in my mind you got some kind of dumbass redneck lineage. Lindsay Forbes, spokeswoman for the local teachers union. Are you ready for this? The teachers union's got to get involved. Why? Anyway, Lindsay Forbes, a spokeswoman for the local teachers union, the Howell Education Association, told the Upshot, whatever the hell that is, the local paper, that McDowell followed school policy in asking for the belt buckle to be removed. Teachers are supposed to ask students to remove inappropriate or distracting clothing. Confederate flags are not specifically listed as inappropriate, but Forbes said the flag is a symbol of hate. Especially at that school, Howell, because 2 years ago, a group of students were investigated by the Department of Justice for starting a Facebook group that used the Confederate flag as its profile photo and featured hate speech. The students were suspended. An area north of Howell also had an active Ku Klux Klan membership in the 70s and 80s, according to the Livingston County Press. So the fact is, that hateful, terrorist, illegal, criminal organization, the Ku Klux Klan, had infected this area in the 70s and 80s, and the educators of that area, the high school teachers and educators, were aware of this. McDowell was suspended for a day without pay after the student in question complained about the removal of her belt buckle. So they suspend his teacher because that's the process that you got to go through because the teacher's doing his job and yada, 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 and this and that, and the student complained, and then this and the that, and some other dumbass kid gets involved, and he hasn't got 5 cents worth of brains, but I'm sure we're going to hear from his parents, too, and they're going to want to have a hearing before the board. And isn't this a... Who would want to be a teacher in this madhouse? Who would ever want to teach school in the United States of America? It's a freaking nut house.
My aunt's a teacher. She likes it pretty good.
She does, huh?
Yeah.
Where's she teach?
At a private school.
Yeah, I'll bet.
She teaches at a Catholic school, right?
I think so.
A Catholic school. Great.
What's the matter with that? You all anti-Catholic and stuff?
No, I ain't anti-Catholic. You know I'm Catholic. Anyway, he said the... Let's see. The staff attorney for Michigan's American Civil Liberties Union, Jay Kaplan, tells the Upshot that the case represents a balancing act between protecting free speech and creating a safe school environment, but that both students were most likely protected by the First Amendment. Both of them? The one that mouthed off and the one with the Confederate flag belt buckle. So what's the point? What's the point of guiding and directing young people? What's the point of saying to a young person, this is not the best symbol? Do we do that with kids anymore? Or do they automatically have constitutional rights out of the crib and whatever asinine thing they decide to do, whatever ridiculous display they decide to put on, whatever dumbass thing they decide to do, we have to respect that because it's the First Amendment. Are you people serious? Do we not have something in this world called the tuition, the education of our younger people, you know, where they come out of the womb and they ain't exactly formed, and we give them a little bit of a heads up on what's going on, right? Well, here's what's happening, and you might want to look out for this, and you might want to look out for that. And here's a better way of acting besides that, because, hey, he said the well... This is the kind of quasi-pablum speech these bastards engage in that makes me want to just pitch it up. He said the well-meaning McDowell should have instead... Are you listening to this ass from the ACLU? Should have instead started a discussion about why the Confederate flag is a symbol of hate for so many and how denigrating homosexuality marginalizes... Blah, 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 blah. Have a discussion. Don't tell a kid what to do. Have a discussion.
What is that going to do? You got to tell a kid...
No. You can't tell kids anything, man. Not according to this jackass. So instead of taking a young person and saying, the belt buckle comes off, you know, because that is a symbol. No, have a discussion. And maybe if you're lucky, within 5, 6, 7 months, people will start seeing your side to it. And you can get her to take the belt buckle off, and then you can move on to another topic. By the end of the school year, you might have actually had 3 days worth of school. The ACLU has offered to host training sessions for teachers about what the law says. You guys don't even know what the law says. You guys don't even know what the law... I don't even think you cats know what the Constitution says. Seriously, I really don't. I don't think you know what the Constitution says. I know for a fact you don't know anything about international law. I'm really questioning whether you guys interpret the Constitution, whether you guys follow legal precedent, whether you're following the court's decisions. What is it? Are you your own separate Supreme Court? What are you guys? McDowell, who's also president of the local teachers union, is appealing the decision, is back at work while the grievance is pending, a procedure that has been known to take as long as a year. Howell High is holding a diversity forum Monday night to talk about the issue. According to the union, the school has no specific policy prohibiting anti-gay bullying. Well, why don't you get one? I got a great idea. You put into place, if we start backing up our teachers, and I don't know whether anybody's got the guts for this, you know, but you put into place, this is it. This is the school policy. Well, who enforces that? The teachers, the school administration. Oh, yeah. That way we don't have to call you up at the ACLU or you, mom and dad, wherever it is you work. We'll do it. Well, I think my daughter ought to be... Well, guess what? You're wrong. And if you don't like it, tell you what, homeschool your brat.
That's a good idea. A lot of people homeschool want to do that.
I tell you, that's a perfect solution, in my opinion. Well, I don't have the time. You don't have the time. You got enough time to stick your nose into my business and tell me how to educate your kid. I'm running this school. I'm a teacher here. We have a policy. We enforce it, okay? If you don't like it, take your brat out of school, homeschool this kid, and get her out of our sight. How about that? Well, I don't have the time because I'm this and that. You don't, huh? Well, then, guess what? Either make the time or shut up. You know, there's some of these people, I mean, it isn't about their kids. It's got nothing to do with their kids. They could care less whether their kids live or die. It's about them. And it's about how they never really, you know, they weren't bright enough when they were younger, I guess, to explain these things or express these things. But now that they're older and they have a kid and they got a little bit of power, because one thing that a kid does, a kid gives you power. A kid gives you all kinds of power and position in this world. When you say you're a mother or you're a father, oh, man, the world just drops to its knees. You're just the greatest thing since sliced bread. When you say that you're a mother or a father, you have a power base. You don't want this and you don't want that. You're going to have this and you're going to have that. And you're going to order this person around and you're not going to order that person around. And you do it all under the guise of, I'm a mother, I'm a father. Now, I believe that when people are well-meaning, that is as justifiable an argument as there is. It is it's needed, good parents. But when a individual uses that as simply a way of ensuring their own, their own way.
What do you mean? They're going to say they got a kid so they can get people to do what they want to do?
Yes, that's exactly what I mean. That's exactly what I mean. I got a kid, so here's how it's going to be, you know.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people do that, but, I mean, if you say I got a kid, you know, how that going to get you, like, if you want to, I don't know, get a new car or something like that?
Don't be stupid, Robert, okay?
They're talking about getting a car.
Well, you said it gets you what you want.
I'm talking about in the context of schools, education, public opinion, public policy, those kinds of things, politics. People are always yakking about their kid. All right. Well, the one thing that I did not mention to you, because the kid is sort of ancillary to the story, but there's a 14-year-old kid, 14-year-old boy, a gay student by the name of Taylor Graham, who spoke up on behalf of this teacher. Now, Taylor is not part of the school. He's not at Howell. But he lives nearby. And when this teacher told that kid to take off the belt buckle, Graham Taylor is the name of the kid. I beg your pardon. Graham Taylor. And when the teacher told the kid to take off the belt buckle, and the teacher was suspended as a result, this young man, Graham Taylor, 14, an openly gay 14-year-old student, is here in this audio clip. He's not happy the school district in Howell suspended the teacher for disciplining students for wearing the flag. So he was, I guess, delivered the series of comments to the press.
I myself am gay, and I'm a young person, and that can cause lots of trouble. And when you hear things like Dr. King's speech that one day he wanted his grandchildren, his posterity, to not be judged on the color of their skin but the content of their character, I hope that one day we too can be judged on the content of our character and not who we love. Powell is the headquarters for the Ku Klux Klan. Does that really sound great on your racism record? The fact that they chose this city to come into?
Well,
and you probably want to get rid of that.
No,
so
not really.
How would you like more headlines of Powell denies gays, Powell doesn't protect them?
Well, let's not go overboard. I think the Klan brings a lot of business in, and they...
This teacher, whom I fully support, finally stood up and said something. I've been in rooms, in classrooms, where children have said the worst kinds of things, the kinds of things that helped drive me to a suicide attempt when I was only 9 years old. These are things that hurt a lot. There's a silent Holocaust out there in which an estimated 6 million gay people every year kill themselves. Is this really the environment we want for a school? Do we really want this on our record?
So here he says that Mr. McDowell is inspirational.
He did an amazing thing. He did something that has inspired a lot of people. And whenever, ever I have a teacher stand up for me like that, they change in my eyes. I support Jay McDowell, and I hope you do too.
And one more thing.
George Bush doesn't care about douchebags like John Edwards.
All right, that was the wrong one, bud.
Still pretty good.
It is. All right. Coming up, smoking heavily when you're pregnant is not only bad for your kid, it makes your kid a criminal. Are you ready for that? That's the supposed latest science. I wouldn't give you... Well, we'll find out. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we have here from The Independent, one of the great papers of Great Britain. Oh, but no, this is a list of... this week brings more Christmas albums, including a new Glee soundtrack and Annie Lennox's Christmas Cornucopia. Glee, the music, the Christmas album soundtrack, number 4 on Amazon's music chart, the latest collection for the hit television show Glee, features 12 cheery holiday songs, including I Spit on Your Grave, as well, no, I'm kidding, including You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, and Baby, It's Cold Outside, Whoa Yeah, and a bunch of other great music. I can't read this, man. It's on Columbia, Sony, but what does that say, man?
Dr. Seuss sings one of them.
What do you mean Dr. Seuss sings one of them?
Right there.
It says Dr. Seuss inspired You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. This episode airs on December the 7th. Oh, this episode of Glee, which is the Christmas one, in the United States. And it will guest star Grammy-winning singer Katie Lang. We ain't heard from her in a long time. Right, it's great. I'm kidding. She's okay. Anyway, the complete James Brown Christmas, a 2-disc, 37-song collection. Yet another Christmas album from a dead man.
Why you say that, man?
How many of these songs come from cats that ain't even alive anymore, man? You know what I'm saying? If I got to hear Nat King Cole, I love Nat King Cole. I love him, you know. But there's only so many songs I can hear of a cat who is not alive anymore. Now, for instance, here's a song. This guy's dead, too.
Oh, this is good.
I don't care. Now, That's What I Call Christmas is another disc. It's a top 20... It's another top 20 album. The 2-disc collection from this series features a range of assorted artists from Rihanna to Elvis. Annie Lennox, A Christmas Cornucopia, is another biggie. Should it treat you nice? So there you have it. There's some Christmas things. It ain't even Thanksgiving yet, man, so no Christmas music. The next story up here, heavy smoking and pregnancy linked to crime in offspring. Mothers who puff a pack a day or more while pregnant run a 30% higher risk of having children who become criminal offenders. What a load of crap.
Why you say that?
My mom smoked like a chimney, man. Well, I guess...
Yeah.
God, that was bad. Anyway, the link held true even after other factors statistically associated with criminal behavior, mental illness, family problems, poverty were ruled out. Women were as likely as men to tend toward crime, and both sexes faced a higher risk of frequent arrest. So start smoking, Mom. Charles Wygand is our technical director. Dan Northcraft, associate producer. And our producer is Jason Rentz. PhilHendryShow.com. See you tomorrow night on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.